Is KAYT Gina Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
What a blessing it is to be in the house of the Lord today. To our ministers and to our ministry leaders and to all of you who are assembled here today and to those who are online with us, we thank God for you. This is a blessed day just to be in the house of the Lord. And we thank God for this privilege to be here today. God bless you. God bless you today. We thank God for our music ministry blessing us today and setting the atmosphere for worship. Come on, give God praise for them. Amen. Amen. There was a word from the Lord He laid on our heart to share with you today as we go to phase two of our series on Christian living. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We are seeking to ask the Lord how Christians ought to live. And last week we dealt with the reality and the struggle we have with our sin nature, that we have to battle with that beast on the inside of us, that flesh man. And today we want to go one step further in seeking how to be the people God called us to be. Christian living, living as a Christian. And part of living as a Christian, now I want to say it as we prepare, you can't live as a Christian until you become a Christian. And there's a difference between church folks and Christians. There's a distinct difference between those who go to church all the time and are real Christians, those who seek to please God. Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse number 1, the Word of God reads thusly, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse number 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. You may be seated. The grass withers, the flowers fade thereof. The word of our God shall stand forever. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you and I present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, separated, and acceptable unto God, which is the least we can do, which is our reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, this age, this society, but be ye transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may demonstrate or prove or test what is that good, well-pleasing, and acceptable will of God. For a few moments today, I want to talk to you from this thought, simply, a life that honors God. A life that honors God. Living a life that honors God. It's so cliche to say that, but if we're not careful, we can get misdirected. Amen. And live for everything and everyone but God. Amen. We have a strong proclivity, if not careful, that we will live for our children. Live for that job. Live even for the church. Live to be recognized. Live to be popular. And never live for God. It's so cliche to say that in church, but today is a day for us to kind of stop and assess ourselves and really see, who am I living for? Am I really living a life that pleases me? Or am I living a life that will honor God? Based on that today, it would serve reason for us to understand just how much God has done for us. Truth of it is today, beloved, is that God's been so good that we often take him for granted. The very fact that God woke us up this morning is enough reason to live for the glory of God. Problem we have is we don't have the other option to really appreciate it, because the other option is that he don't wake us up this morning. And we don't get the luxury of not waking up this morning and then waking up tomorrow morning and then we'll appreciate. So what we try to do is, because he woke us up this morning, and we understand by what we've seen in Lamentation that his mercies are new every morning, that his mercy brought you through yesterday and it probably will bring you through today, that we ought to celebrate God's goodness for the simple fact he woke us up this morning. The psalmist tells us this is the day that the Lord has made, and we ought to rejoice and find a way to be glad in it. Because God has been good, and God is good. You looking for some shouting talk? I ain't got no more than that. God still sits high, and God still looks low. And I'm learning today, beloved, not to get upset anymore. I'm working on it the best I can, not to get upset when you've seen God be good to folk and folk don't want to be good to God. I'm working on it. I'm not there yet, but I sometimes get frustrated when God has taken care of you all week long. God has taken care of your situation all week long. God has healed your sickness all your life. God has delivered you nonstop. God has opened doors for you nonstop. God has closed doors for you nonstop. And we will still have the nerve and the gall and the gizzards to come to his house and never lift our hand and never say thank you and never say hallelujah. It baffles me how God can be so good to folk who don't have it on their mind to be good to him. But I just want to be by myself, because all I can control is myself. I'm going to still bless the Lord at all times. It's been a hell of a week, but I'm going to bless the Lord. Everything ain't going my way, but I'm going to bless the Lord. All my I's are not dotted, but I'm going to bless the Lord. My T's are not crossed, but I'm going to bless the Lord, because if God brought me through it, he can bring me to it, and he'll take me from it.
And I know we don't all do it the same way, but the Bible says that the redeemed of the Lord say something. Ought to be something you can say when you think over your life about how good God been. I know the church ain't no good. I know we ain't no good. I know all us going to hell. But do you still, with your deep self, with your super spiritual self, can you still think about God's goodness and how much he's taken care of you, how he's fought battles for you? And all you want to do. Is glorify God. That's all you want to do. Our goal every day is not to be known. Not to be important. But our goal as Christians. Should be to live a life. The best you can. To honor God. To bless his name. Now our parents told us. That don't ever go somewhere and make it look like you ain't been taught. Well, if mom and daddy can tell you that and you still living by that, if God been good to you, you ought to act like he been good. You ought not be walking around like God ain't took care of some stuff for you. You ought not keep your head down like God ain't healed your sickness. Act like he done been good to you sometime. And so Paul gives this encouragement, this exhortation to these new Christians in Rome. And from chapters 1 through 11, he pretty much talks about what God has done. Chapters 1 through 11 tells us that we've been justified by faith. And chapter 1, he talks about the fact that we ought not even be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because the gospel is what saved us. We've been told that all, it's not, chapter 3 tells us that it's not y'all have sinned. But it says all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But God decided to still send Jesus in our place, because the penalty has to be paid for our sin condition. And he allowed Jesus to come and die in our place, so that you and I never have to go to the cross. We go have some challenges, but we don't have to go to the cross. And he said that Christ now has paid the price, and you and I are justified. In other words, just if I died. That Christ made it look like you did it, but you're still not guilty. You're guilty, but you're not guilty. You're not innocent, but you're not guilty, because of what Christ did. And by the blood of Jesus Christ, he has now cleansed us of all unrighteousness. The wages of sin is death, chapter 6 tells us, but the gift of God is eternal life. Chapter 8 tells us that we got victory, that we are no longer condemned by our flesh, because our flesh will lead us to hell and destruction, but there's a spirit man that lives inside of you that gives you the opportunity to overcome your flesh, overcome your past, overcome what people are doing to you, and still walk in victory. For we know that all things work together for the good of them who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Now, can I be nosy real quick? How many of y'all are saved today? And you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, that means today that you are the called, and you have the opportunity today. You have the distinction that you are what they call the predestined, that God already knew that you were going to be saved, and he's got a plan for your life. You missed it. All things work together for the good of them who love God. Can I ask you another question? How many of y'all love God? But sometimes your life get bad. That's okay, because you love God, and because God love you, all things, even the ugly things, the nasty things, the difficult things, the terrible things, the tragic things will work together for your good. All it tells us in chapters 1 through 11 is what God has done. Have I mentioned you being good yet? All this is about God's goodness to us. Then he says, God has done all this work. And according to chapter 10, if we just confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ died for our sin, we are saved. Now you got to be careful, church folk, because they say, how can you call on him who you have not heard? And how can you hear without a preacher? And how can somebody preach except they be sent? So sometimes you got to go to church so you understand how God can get you to salvation. I know we ain't nothing but a bunch of pimps and we just want your money and we just after your women, but God done still called us to give you a word that will turn your life around with your uppity arrogant won't say amen self. Got to have somebody to give us a word. Somebody to give us a word. To tell us what God did for all of us. So the basis for this is chapter 11, verse 36. It helps me understand the basis of chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Chapter 11, verse 36 says, and of him, and through him, and to him are all things. I'm going to try it again. And of him. And through him and to him are all things. In other words, you ain't gonna get the glory without bypassing God. You can't bypass God, and that shocks me in this world we living in, because everybody want everything but God. But as a day coming where every knee go bow and every tongue go confess that Jesus Christ, hey, he is Lord. He is Lord. He has risen from the dead. Yeah. Of him, through him, and to him. Now, we all right with the of him, because we understand he made it all, and we can't do nothing without God. We ain't got too much of a problem with through him, because you know you got to pray and get your blessing. But today we got to deal with this to him. Because Christians don't want to give nothing to him, but steady want something from him. I wish I had somebody helping me. Most of us today did not come to give anything to him. We came to get something from him. I need a bill paid. I need a sickness healed. I need a relationship taken care of. I need a headache reduced. I need to work in my favor. But it ever dawned on ear real safe that whether he do anything else for me, doggone it, he's already done enough. He has been good to me. I've been to myself. And we're struggling. And we're selfish. And we're silly. Because we've taken our eyes off him. And we keep asking him to bless our mess. I bet not, because it's been a rough week trying to be a real pastor lately. It's been real tough trying to be a real man of God in this little crazy season we in. But the hell with it, I got to go and give God this word to God's people. We so foolish. Can I tell you how crazy we done got? We'll do stuff in God's name and it don't even be to him. Something that's supposed to be to him, we do it any kind of way. Somebody in this house today is serving with messing them. Because you don't think about the fact it's to God. Because you just understand it's through him and of him. And he has not gifted you to keep complaining about stuff. He has not blessed you to keep having hate in your heart. How you gonna still stand for a service and won't stand for your brother or sister? How you gonna open up a door for some? I got it. Somebody say nerve. To think that God don't see how you treating folk behind their back. that God don't see that you ain't sincere about nothing you doing. Up here singing about a God you don't worship, preaching about a God you don't believe in, working for a God you won't support. How dare we do that? How dare we do God's ministry and don't even mean it? We told the Holy Ghost 11 o'clock, 11:03, here we go. Because we forgot about the fact it's to him. So what if I were to tell you that the Holy Ghost came at 11, but we didn't think enough about ourselves because I got to get my water. I got to go to the bathroom. I got to get myself together. I got to get one last messy word in. Y'all think we done had church cause y'all done got happy. But we ain't give God honor enough to start on time. Because it's about us. Ain't about no doggone less hour of sleep. Whether it's 1 hour more, 1 hour less, he woke me up this morning. Playing on our phones, looking around, doing our thing, because it's not really to him. And Paul saw something we didn't see. Paul saw that if God been good, because we're finna make the transition from the theoretical application to practical. 1 through 11, what God did. 12 through 16, what we got to do. I'm in the Bible. We ain't got no problem with chapters 1 through 11 because we can receive the fact God did something for us. But the transition is chapter 11, verse 36. Now don't forget now, of him, through him, and to him are all things. Question, which you been giving him? You proved your point, showed him you ain't gonna do nothing but what you gave him. The one that really matters. Oh, you half singing, half praising, half studying, half reading, half doing, because you gotta prove a point. You ain't gonna be used but what you're showing him. You ain't proving nothing to us. You showing God how you feel about him. And that's why I ain't tripping no more on folk who won't worship God, who won't work together. I'm trying my best not to be fighting behind people because you're not showing me nothing. You showing God how you feel. Because it ain't hard to get people who really love God to work together, to worship together. We can get over anything. We can get past anything when we all love God because we're two or three. Or gathered in his name, he's in the midst and he'll work everything out. But when you're in your own name, behind your own opinion, your own tradition, your own foolishness, baby, it'll never work. So Paul says, I beseech you, I urge you, I almost beg you, therefore. And when therefore is in the text, you need to see what therefore is there for. And therefore, because of God's goodness, since God done handled the hard part, we ought to be able to do the easy part. If he done gave Jesus, least we can do is honor him. I beseech you, therefore, here's my other shout, brethren. I'm sorry, all I got is the Bible, y'all. That's all I got. I ain't got no catchphrase. I beseech you, brethren. Now, can I tell you what makes me happy in the midst of it all? Because maybe we've been wasting time with folk who ain't family. Ever since January 4th, 1988, I've been a big brother. And anybody know my younger brother, who I still call him little brother, you know is he has the potential and the propensity to get on the very last nerve I have. Because he knows everything before he even knew what he knew everything was. And he got an answer for everything. We fight, we argue, but that's still my brother. I don't care what happens, I don't care what somebody say, you ain't finna mess up me and my brother. You can create some mess, you can create hostility, but that's my little brother, and I'll be doggone you mess with my brother, and I ain't gonna stand up some kind of way. I wish I was in a church where I wouldn't have to go to the store and let somebody talk about my pastor, and talk about my brother, and talk about my member, and you don't even say nothing to take a stand. You ain't real family, because if you really see us as family, ain't no way in hell you finna be talking about my brother, not my sister, not in my presence. Y'all let folks say anything. Anything, and don't take a stand. So I'm understanding, Mac, we ain't really brethren. Bye. Let me just get through this and get out of trouble. A life that honors God is one that, number one, commits to sacrificial worship. Now, this ain't everybody's point. But if you seek to please God, to honor God in your life, you will commit to sacrificial worship. Those are three troubling words to our flesh nature. Because your flesh nature says, do your own thing. But if you go honor God, commit. See, we're in a culture that it's not really important to commit to anything. You can just show up to stuff, sow in some stuff, but not commit to stuff. Our flesh does not want anybody, including God, to ask anything of us. Now, it's not practical, because we want God to be full-time. Because the psalmist told us that he don't slumber nor sleep. That day or night, he's taking care of us. But we want to be able to take some time off from Christianity. I want to ask God for everything. But I really ain't prepared for God to ask me. So he says, I beseech you. Don't get quiet on me now. Because a lot of us in here is just shouting today, and we ain't fooling with that God no more till next Sunday, if we lived. Lord, say same. Commit, then we struggle with commitment, right? And then when I make a commitment, it's got to be sacrificial. That means I could use my gift, time, talent, treasure for something else, but I'm choosing to put that with what I am committed to. I will support fraternities, my lodge, American Cancer Society, March of Dimes, St. Jude, other charitable organizations. Police stopped me out there by the high school and put a quarter in that bucket for toys, for tots and stuff. But I'm not going to put that into the things of God. That means sacrifice means that it'll hurt you. But I'm committed and I'm gonna make the sacrifice. But watch this. Can I help you not be mad? You won't have a problem making a sacrifice when you become a sacrifice. See, Paul did not say, he said, don't bring something He says present something. That you present yourself. I'm not making it up. I beseech you by the mercies of God. That another, if you ain't got no other motivation, he could have got rid of us. Because see, mercy is what you not getting what you do deserve. See, we love to shout off grace, but we don't shout off mercy. Because grace is him giving us what we don't deserve. But then mercy is him not giving us what we do deserve. And I don't care how good you're looking, all of us deserve to be in hell. We don't deserve God's goodness. We don't deserve God's favor. We were headed to hell. Well, y'all said it this morning, that we were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. We were born headed to hell, but God. So we often look at what God give us, but we never look at what God don't give us. And when you think about what it could be, it motivates you to say, God, I got to give you me. I wish I had a real witness. Y'all don't like it, but I got to give you the real word. See, I'm not motivated by his grace. I'm encouraged by his grace. But I'm motivated by his mercy, because I know that any given moment, God could take his hand off me. God could take his blessing off me. And why, how dare I play with my own life and not give God me? Now he says, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present yourself. I don't want your money till I got your mind. And that's why we struggle with giving God anything, because we have not given God me. And we see, God, when you give God you, ain't no problem. Anything God want to do, take my time, take my treasure, take my children, take everything, because I'm committed to you. But when you ain't giving God you, you'll never give God what you got. And that's why you rationalize how much you gonna spend at church, how much you gonna spend in ministry. Because you have not given him you. And then look what he says, y'all, a living. Because in the Old Testament, in order to get forgiven for stuff, you had to bring a dead. You had to bring an animal, and the blood of that animal had to be sprayed across the altar for you and I to receive mercy. Do you know what your God did for you? He said, I'm sick of folk keep that killing animals and ain't finna change nothing. He says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring my son to be the lamb, the sacrificial lamb for all of y'all, and he going to shed his blood at the altar, and now you don't need another cow, you don't need another lamb, you don't need another ram. All you need to do is accept what I've already done for you, that you might have access to me. So he expects, Lord, hold me. If God says a living sacrifice, he don't expect you coming dead. He don't have to accept you dragging up in here and you dragging around at home and dragging around at work like he ain't, because he says, I saved you for a reason. And I didn't save you, I didn't keep you for you to be walking around acting like you ain't got good doggone sense. I have called for you to be a living. Give me some passion. Give me some excitement. Give me some enthusiasm. Hold your head up. Stick your chest out. Walk with purpose. Walk with power. And know you are a living. Get him something he can feel. Get him something to let him know you love him and you appreciate just another day. I know your head hurt, but lift your hand. I know your back hurt, but stomp your feet. Do something to let somebody know you're living. Stop going to work tripping. A living sacrifice. Holy. Now, I got to unpack that word holy, because holy ain't what these deep folk been telling you. Because holy is not a dress code. It's a lot of folk dress right and think wrong. I better leave that alone. Holiness, as Paul unpacks it, means separated. It means that you giving God something, get in trouble, Ham, that you ain't giving nobody else. And that's why we can't give God ourselves, Because the world done used us up. He done used us up. She done used us up. That done used us up. Ain't nothing left for God to get. Which is your reasonable service or worship? That means, ladies and gentlemen, that worship is not limited to 11 o'clock Sunday morning. Real worship is your life. It ain't even no lifestyle. That your life is dedicated to God day in and day out. Even on vacation, your life is still dedicated. Can I prove it? How many of y'all, no matter where, y'all still pray over your food? How many of y'all still pray when the sun rises and when the sun sets? It's because you are already set apart for worship. And it's the least we can do. Paul said it made good sense. That word reasonable come from logikos, meaning it's logical. Where we get the word logical from. In other words, that's the least you can do is give God you. And don't give him no dead you. Well, I don't do that like, you know, like they do that. That Tucker come up in here. What's that fella, that Cajun fella, Chris R. What's his name? Dear. Can't stay too long. Y'all gone. Gotta keep moving. Took the time to learn to dance. But somebody actually in the house of God, lift your holy hand to God. I can't do that. Give God a sacrificial praise. I can't do that. You mean tell me that a blues singer died for my sin? A blues singer redeemed my heart? A blues singer healed my sickness? But see, you dedicated yourself to that. A living. Stop telling young folk, go on, get crazy, and then when you ain't can't do nothing else, then come to God. Why God wants something that's all broke down? Give him you. I'm going to tell you something, young people, adult people, let me tell you something. I'm going to stand on it. It's still fun to be saved. It's fun to be a Christian. You can laugh and be holy. You can laugh and be separated. Don't fall for the hype. It is wonderful to be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Tell him I said it. Let me hear it. A life that honors God commits to sacrificial worship. Ooh, Jesus, hold your boy. Where is our commitment? Where is the sacrifice? Because see, you can't, that's why I be telling y'all it's not proper to get on Facebook and say you're located at New Zion Sunday. And then say I'm giving God some of my time. Hey, you can't give time. In the beginning, God. So how you gonna give him something that's his anyway? Ain't that crazy? Make a sacrifice. Now, he says, present yourself. Living sacrifice. Here's why you don't like doing it. Because somebody gonna see you. Give all that to God that you used to give to them. And you don't want to be talked about. You don't be called church boy. Hey, I'm going to let the cat out the bag. I appreciate it. Y'all think it's funny watching Sheila run. But Sheila at least know who she's running for. Y'all laughing. You should have said, tag me in. Pass the baton. Some of the hell y'all been fighting, the mess in your family, the stuff you dealing with, you should have said, pass the baton. I'll run for him too while y'all laughing. She know who she running for. Sheila got a testimony. God saved her granddaughter this week. God opened some doors this week. That's why she's running. Y'all don't know the whole story, but you laughing. Y'all should have been running with her. Some of the hell y'all been through, and God spared you. Living. Living. She made up her mind, God, I'm going to give you me.
Yeah. Amen.
That's her and God.
Amen.
What about you?
Amen.
You worrying about people who ain't saved you.
Amen.
I'm telling you something, life have a way. You ain't going to be cool no more. I'm a living witness. I wish I had some more witnesses. You can be cool and cute all you want to. Catch the right storm. Catch the right struggle. You can't wait to get to God's house and do something different. Keep playing around.
Yeah, man.
Y'all all right with point one? You sure? Because point two coming. He's coming around the mountain. Here he comes. And you might not like this one. Because a life that honors God not only commits to sacrificial worship, but a life that pleases God changes through spiritual wisdom.
Amen.
Somebody say change.
If
you the same fool you was 20 years ago, you ain't giving God nothing. See, it's something throwed by people say, I was throwed then and I'm throwed now, and you still in church. And if we already understand God is all right, who the common denominator? You bragging on not changing. But Paul says if you go give God something he can feel, if you go honor God and glorify God, change. Now, we're in this culture and society where we want freedom. Can I ask you a question? The purpose of a seatbelt is to protect you. That in case you crash, it ain't supposed to take you out. Now, here's the problem with it. In order to stay safe, you got to be restrained. I can't just drive stupid, and then if a crash happens I can't control, then I ain't got nothing to keep me. When wrecks come. So you got to have a seatbelt on that will protect you and might make you uncomfortable. It may put a mark on your clothes, but it's keeping you alive in case a crash comes. Is there anybody who can thank God today that I got a word in me that it may not always like what because I don't always get to have my way. I can't always have the freedom I want. But if it wasn't for that word, when the crash comes, I've been lost my mind. I've been gone crazy. I've been locked up. I thought I had some real people who can just thank God he restrains me, that he don't let me do everything I want to do, because I thank God for the seatbelt of his spirit, the seatbelt of his word, the seatbelt of some discipline, the seatbelt of some love. It restrained me. It don't feel good. I don't look too cool, but it's keeping me alive. Because some of y'all, how many of y'all don't mind admitting in church, you've had some crashes, but you survived it. You've had some things happen to your car, but you survived. Some stuff happened to your family, but you survived. Stuff happened to your mind, but you survived it. And so Paul has introduced, and it's free, because he's telling them they got liberty, they saved, and they're free to live. But then he starts out verse 2 with, be not. Wait a minute. Wait a minute, because we freedom. Freedom. But there's something you ought not get yourself caught up in. He says, be not conformed to this world, to this age, to this society, to the culture. And y'all, if we're not careful, hold me, Holy Ghost. Because you can say it's fine today. We got no problem presenting ourselves today. But you finna go home to world. In the morning, you got to go to work to world. You got some friends that's world. And if you don't have any discipline, you will conform and try to fit in. You'll become a chameleon and just blend in everywhere you go. In church, be churchy. At club, be clubbish. He says, work every day to be not conformed. Because always going to be something that will try to make you fit into that. Be mindful of this political climate we're in. Because it's supposed to be about the saints and the ain'ts, not Republicans and Democrats. Don't let this stuff you seen on TV cause you to start getting, and you forget all about God. Oh. Be my, everything that's fashionable is not fitting. Hold me, Holy Ghost. Hold me, Holy Ghost. Everything that's fashionable is not fitting. Y'all got quiet on me. Y'all, you're not supposed to fit into everything. We are called to be set apart. You'll know you're walking with God when some folk don't want to fool with you no more. Can I just teach that for a minute? One of the signs of your growth is in what party you don't always go to. You used to always be, I'm in a new place now. And I'm not trying to fit in with that. God got me going somewhere else, and I just can't do that just for the sake of keeping you in my life. Now, if you can't appreciate the fact who God making me to be, maybe I don't need to even be around you. Am I talking all right?
Yeah.
That's good.
Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Now, here's what I love, because conformity, my friends, is external. Transformation is internal. The word transform comes from the word metamorphose, where you see the word metamorphosis come from. Helps us better when we understand how a butterfly goes at that little insect and becomes now a wonderful butterfly. It's the same thing, but it changes into something greater. That's what God does in your life. He takes you from this, but the more you grow and you make changes from the inside, that manifests to something better on the outside. You don't just stop addictions externally.
That's right.
You got to do some internal work. And see, too many of us don't want to be changed. We just don't want to show symptoms. Some of your families are broken. But y'all still go come externally and show. We go sit together. We go wear matching outfits. Because we want to make it look like we're together. Now we get back in that car. I'm going to cuss you out. You'll cuss me out. I'm going to throw them children out. But as far as the people see, they'll never know we're struggling. And I'm mighty concerned that we're perpetuating a fraud because we don't want to be changed. And it's constant. Because look what he says. And be not conformed to this world, but be, allow yourself to be. Transform. Stop saying God made me. You make a choice every day of your life. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Not just your brain, but your heart. Your mind, because that's why he says, well, if a man think in his heart That's what he is, because your mind and your heart are connected. So how do I get a renewed mind and heart? By the word of God. That's why it's called spiritual wisdom. Only way you're going to get real spiritual change is by a daily, normal diet of the word of God. I knew my amens was going to leave me. Because we know how to shout, but we don't know no scripture. And that's why you'll fall for catchphrases and then not know the word of God. When blessings go up, praises go up, blessings come down. That may be true, but there ain't no Bible. So stop saying that. But if I ain't read it and I don't know, I'll fall for it. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you want to know how God feels, God got 66 books called a Bible that will tell you how he feels about everything you and I go through and what we deal with. If you're using anything else to determine how to get wisdom, you are headed for trouble. Now, we got to be careful because a lot of us know church but don't know the word. And you ought to want to be somewhere, get in trouble, Ham. You ought to want to be somewhere where you're challenged to change. God is not interested in you being yourself. I got quiet on me then. I'm going to be me. He says, I made you. I created you, but I ain't stopped with you because I'm yet still creating you. You're still on the potter's wheel, and he's still working on some things in your life. Sometimes the problem ain't them. Sometimes the problem is us. But we're in a culture, and that's why we call church hopping, because we don't want to be challenged. Because that word convicts you, and that word wants to cause you to want to change something, and you like being like you are. It works for you. That's been your shtick. That's what I do. Everybody know how I am. But if you in the word, he teaches you and challenges you to change some stuff. So I'm going to ask this question. I'm going to know by your response. How many of y'all, if you've been in the word like you should, can see some growth in your life? Don't fool me. Because of God's word being planted in your heart and life, you are not where you ought to be, but thank God you're not where you used to be. The word is changing your life, and you are a better version of yourself now than you've ever been before. Can anybody tell God thank you for that? Somebody will thank God for his word. I ain't say thank God for no money. Don't thank God for no bill paying. This ain't about thanking God for your health. Can somebody thank God that you still get a steady diet of God's word that you can hide in your heart and it'll be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path? Can somebody thank God for his word at work in your life that is changing you? Now, I better leave this alone. Because I be trying not to get in too much trouble with y'all. Because I do love you. Y'all do know I love you, right? I know it don't seem like it, but I do. I truly do. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't tell you God's truth to you. Okay? Now, a lot of y'all stand up. I don't see on Wednesdays. So I want to know, I hope you're getting it somewhere. I just know where you're not getting it. Because, all I can do on Sunday really is try to reach you. But you got to get teaching during the week. Preaching is for sinners. Teaching is for saints. And a lot of y'all stood up, I don't see Wednesday at 6:30. Erica, turn that light off. Just one of them right there. Turn it back on. I got one amen in the house right there. Thank you.
I'm trying to laugh, man. I really not. It was some of y'all faces. I wasn't trying to do you like that, man. Y'all start breathing and everything. I wasn't finna call you by name. I'm just saying, you know you don't be in no study no Bible. You know you don't. Some of y'all, most of y'all think Sunday is enough. I'm coming to tell you it's not enough. Hey, your body can go about 4 days without food. Your body can go maybe 24 or some hours without water. You can't go a lot far without the word. Now, I understand we have our, we be looking at clips of different people. TikToks of our, you know, our favorite whoever's. YouTube, you be YouTubing, and when you working out, you be listening to gospel music on your Pandora. But you need to be in the word. Have a steady diet. Man should not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's why we're struggling, y'all, because we don't have no word. And when you don't have a word, you'll make up stuff. Yeah. Our children need to be, as important as from being an honor roll in school, need to be an honor roll in church. Yeah. The devil wants our children to be smart with no soul. And we don't think it's important for our souls to be fed. It's important for the young people and us. Stop sending them and dropping them off. Bring them. And if we can't teach you, you teach us. I'm move on, Mac. I'm move on. I'm done. A life that honors God. I'm just gonna talk to Mac. He don't want to nod it. If looks could kill, I'm glad my policy paid up. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. All of that, it is a life that pleases God, a life that commits to sacrificial worship, a life that surrenders, or a life that changes, that is allowing yourself to be changed. Every time you leave here, y'all, you ought not be shouting. Sometimes you ought to be hollering. Ouch. Good church is not always when you shout, ain't he all right, and you're not. Sometimes you are challenged to be changed from the inside out. Because, let's tell the truth today, and we family, let's tell the truth. Sometimes what God done told you, no matter who it came from, it's still the truth. Stop all that lying. If you're a liar, and the Lord told you about stop all that lying, you can't get mad. What about you lying? He ain't say, okay. Everybody stop lying. But don't take away from you. You got to stop lying too. I'm going to help you when it comes to Bible study, y'all. Don't just look for scriptures where you got that right. Allow God, ask God to show you where you need growth, strengthening, improvement. Amen, somebody. Then it's a life that changes. Through spiritual wisdom. And thirdly and finally, a life that pleases God. How do I say this about getting in more trouble? Confirms the sovereign's will. It demonstrates, it shows, displays what God's will is. Y'all looking for something deep, that's all I got. That when you live a life that pleases God, you see the progression? That if you give him you, allow him to work in you, you can give something to him. Yeah. And then you're showing the world that if God can change her. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not pointing nobody in particular, Mr. Moss. If the Lord can change Stacy, he can change me. We are showing, because that's what God's will is, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and pleasing will of God. Y'all don't know this, but God wants to be worshiped.